I want us to start because we have a little pressure of time. Time is not up to I will call that. As members are coming in and the officials of the party. Those who did not grab a cup of tea or a glass of soft drink and can make themselves comfortable. They are outside of tea, there is juice and soft drink, but very quietly so. I think the Deputy Minister is around with us. Yeah, not a Mr. Welcome here. We are very honored to have you. There is a hectic program that you are having. I know that NA engages with all of the academic chain, but it's always a pleasure to see you among us. Thank you very much, dear. Yeah, without saying much, we are having two departments. We are going to start with the first department in this presentation. When dealing with energy, and it will be followed by the Department of Labor. I want just to make the ground rules that each presenter will spend 25 minutes to an hour making a presentation. And thereafter, it will be followed by questions. For clarity and responsibility by the departments. After that, the Department of Labor will follow suit, also 45 minutes or an hour, seeking clarification and responses thereof, so that we knock off on time. The NCOP is a very important house because as we are having this meeting today, we are still expected to debate with some of us. So, still at least to both sides. When a question is asked, don't prepare it with long speeches because we don't have time. We'll have some time in the house to make a podcast speeches. Equally, so when the department is being asked to respond, make the point at the bureaucrat. So I would request that kind of an approach to all of us. I'll also request maybe, because this is our first meeting in this democratic parliament, very quickly to introduce ourselves, the honorable members, and followed by the department which will be led by the MPDG. She will be introduced by herself. You might make some prepared remarks when the time is right, so that we head over to the presenter of the department to present us with his or her APG. Without saying much, my name is Lucho, the surname is Suka. I'm from the Eastern Cape in Portland. I do have a pen name, very important, a clan name. With this community, we can do that so that thereafter, immediately, as a DTM leader, and put over to the vendor to just know others. All members, the floor is yours. Can we introduce ourselves? Because it's our first meeting. In the next meeting that we follow, we will not introduce ourselves all the time. It's just for today, this first meeting. I was also waiting for Dr. Barton. Now that you arrived, we are hoping to introduce ourselves. All of you have come at a time. That's a relation. Mama, thank you.
It's a Limpopo province. Good day. I'm Elsa Sandlinen from the Eastern Cape.
And you told a few of that, Assalamu alaikum. I'm my unit's father, EFF. Good morning. My name is Simple Dawson Timonia. I'm from Pumalanga. I owe my bill to the AC. Good morning, Mr. Minister and colleagues. My name is Eddie Kuchim from Makue, and I'm from Sokhe.
Any other member? After honorable member Mahua, we are going to Makufa. Hopefully, very soon. Thank you very much for that presentation. To my officials from the Select Committee.
Good morning. I'm not sure what you need to set the time for the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development.
Good morning. My name is Rudy Mr. Shogun. I'm the content advisor for the committee.
Good morning. I'm Khalid Gwebo. I'm also the committee member for the committee.
Good morning. My name is Victor Rafus. I'm committee session.
Good morning. My name is Trepo Makai. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning. My name is Abel Emeshe, director of the committee.
Good morning, I am Edward Jamar Ali and from the NCOP.
Good morning, I'm Pradeesh Shantasar from St. Barbara Corporate Commission Energy.
I'm William Akwata, Sasha Energy Committee.
I'm Ali PMC.
Thank you. We'll stop at Amanda PMG. PMG is an institution, part of that, right? Thank you very much, dear. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. And please allow me to first start off by thanking you for this opportunity. Obviously, I'm in a new environment and I've just been in the portfolio for a very short time. But I really am looking forward to this because I hope that we'll be working very closely together in the future. The team that I have here led by the Acting Director General will be trying to give you the presentation in line with what has been sent to us as a department. So a lot of the work in terms of addressing and the guidelines that provided to try to address those issues, as well as even the issues of the NDP and how that relates. The NCOP is a very important institution for us because you'll see, and I'm sure you're aware, that a big part of our budget is actually on transfers to municipalities, so we are very local in terms of the work that we do on a daily basis. There's very little that actually remains, which is mainly just for the running of the department, but the bulk of the resources, both human and financial, are at local government. So I believe the NCOP is a very relevant institution in terms of that, because I think that's where your focus is. Honourable members are aware that we have been seized. We've been very busy with the Select Committee, Committee on Energy and the National Assembly, and we just had our budget vote. So this is all happening very quickly, and it has really given us time to breathe. Maybe it's a good thing so that we don't then go in a particular direction and let's find that there are some things that you would have wanted us to relook. So we welcome the opportunity. We might not have everything in the way that you'd want it to be, but we believe that this is work in progress. So with your commission, Chair, maybe I can ask the DG to introduce the team before we actually get down to the presentation.
Acting DG, Acting or the DG, thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning. To yourself, Chairperson, and to honourable members, acknowledging also the presence of our Deputy Minister. I am Chairperson, the Acting DG, and I'm here with the team, and I'm going to ask the team to introduce themselves. accepting on my left. Thank you, sir. With your permission, of course.
Thank you. Let me proceed.
Good day. My name is Laisani Marasa. I'm an intern in the ministry.
Good morning, Deputy Minister Chair, and all ministers. I'm the DG for Progress and Projects in the Department. My name is Jules Bond.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. My name is Ombia Fani, and I'm the DDG for Energy Policy and Planning.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Yvonne Chetty, the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Chairperson, and Chair, the Honourable Members, as well as the Deputy Minister. My name is George Nguni. I'm Deputy Director and Law for Corporate Services.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. My name is Tande Gansungu. I'm the DDG responsible for Governance and Compliance.
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. My name is Lloyd Welder. I'm the Director of the State on the of Right.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. My name is Sandy Dan, Chief Director of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Deputy Minister. My name is Madhu Zindogu, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer and the Minister of Energy.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. My name is Homo Lemulka, I'm the Appointed Student Minister.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. My name is Lord Senti Chobeje. I'm Technical Advisor to the Minister. Behind you.
Good morning. My name is Korombi Bongwe. I'm an Executive Director within INEC in the Department of Energy.
Good morning, Honourable Members, the Deputy Minister of Energy, and officials. My name is Sufuno Maji from the Department of Energy, working on electrification planning.
Good morning, Chair. Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. My name is Mosin Kize. I'm the Chief Director responsible for the Public Police. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Members and the Deputy Minister, my name is Marta Sandelele. I'm the Director and Office of the DG.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and Acting DG. My name is Vimalele Mbambo. I'm the Deputy Director General for Nuclear Energy.
So you are Mr. Rips. That's all. Yeah, the Rips. But not Sir Rips.
Thank you. Is that all? Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Shall we proceed to the presentation by the person supposed to make that presentation? Thank you very much. I know that the EBM and the ministry has hit the ground running in this department. And already she alluded to the fact that you are more transferring farm to the local municipality rather than themselves managing them. So you are localized, you are a local department. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The perhaps just to say that, Chairperson, you may see that the team is big today, but it's also because of the activities that are taking place in Parliament starting yesterday. And concluding with the presentation to this committee. So we felt also as part of building capacity that since they were here, they need to then get exposure also to the committee. But the full complement of the management is here, and so there should be no reason why we cannot answer any question. We will talk to everyone here today. And once again, it's a pleasure to be here, and we look forward to working with yourself. And this is the first time I know the chairperson had advised that we shouldn't make long speeches, but we feel that it, as a department, it's important to once again congratulate yourself, Chair, and the committee members for being elected by the people of our country to represent all of us in the NGOP, but of course in Parliament. The presentation, Chairperson, is going to be in two parts. I will do the first part up to the 13th slide, and then the CFO will start with the budget, because that was the main focus, the guidance that we received from the committee. Briefly going to the slide number 3, just to say that we already introduced the team. We established, Chair, the administration, core administration. The President decided to separate the Department of Minerals and Energy, and we were then established as the Energy Department in 2009, and we've been operating as a standalone department since 2010. We are mandated to ensure security of the security and sustainable provision of energy for development of our country, socio-economic development of our country. And that mandate has been reconfirmed in the NDP, and we believe that the decision to split the two departments, was a good one for the energy sector in the country, because we were then able to run perhaps faster than we were as a combined department. Of course, a new department starts with its own challenges. We've been increasing human capacity since. We are still not where we are supposed to be in terms of staff complement, but that matter we are constantly discussing with the Treasury, the National Treasury. The department, in fulfilling its mandate, is supported by 6 state-owned entities that report to the minister, and the entities, if I may just quickly go through them, include the regulators, the entities themselves. The 2 regulators that report to the minister is the National Nuclear Regulator, responsible for regulation of safety in the nuclear sector. Then we also have the National Energy Regulator, NERSA, which looks after the regulation of energy broadly, but it's more the economic regulation, the electricity sector, the petroleum pipeline sector, as well as the gas sector, pipeline sector. That's the regulator that is responsible for that. Then we have the NEXA. We will, at an appropriate time, I guess, President, all the entities will come to the committee. NEXA is the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, which is charged with research and development in the nuclear space. And then we have the SANEDI, which is the South African National Energy Development Institute. And that one is charged with ensuring that its mandate really focuses on driving energy efficiency on behalf of the minister. It houses the National Energy Efficiency Agency, but also is responsible for development certain development in the energy sector broadly, with the exception of nuclear energy. Then the fifth big entity is what is referred to as the CEF group of companies. It's normally referred to as the Central Energy Fund. But the CEF group of companies include under it subsidiaries, PetroSA, SFF, which is the Strategic Fuel Fund, and then there are other smaller subsidiaries under service. And its mandate clearly is to drive the development of on the one side renewable energy projects, but on the other side it has got a fossil component that it drives. The last one is a new entity. It's the Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute that is charged with developing or making sure that the country is ready to deal with the disposal of nuclear waste. So those are the entities that report to the department. And then we, as part of our work, we always want to do things at all times we ensure that we align our work to government priorities. We will outline how we do that later on. Energy, Chairperson and honorable members, energy security cannot happen in the absence of international relations. So as part of a major focus for us is to ensure that we have international relations with countries that we deal with for energy provision. Just to give an example, Chairperson, we get 50% of our crude oil from Saudi Arabia. So it is important that at all times the relationship between South Africa and Saudi Arabia is sound. We get the balance of that from Nigeria and Angola. And therefore the relations with those countries at an energy level need to be appropriate. Most of our guests coming from Mozambique, therefore the relationship between ourselves and Mozambique would then need to be sound from an energy perspective. We have a guest commission that deals with that. Just briefly, Jefferson, then on the how we are structured in order to do all of these things that I referred to. The structure is there, perhaps without going into detail. We have a ministry with the minister and the deputy minister's office. Minister's office and deputy minister's office is a ministry. And then we have the associated institutions, and under the department, of course, there are the office which I'm responsible for. And then the branches, which I think are important also under the DG, are the ones that are specified there. And I must indicate that all of the heads of those branches are here and would be able to handle any of the questions. Then in terms of outcomes, we have identified a number of outcomes which we refer to as strategic outcomes. Now the first one of course is security of supply, and I think perhaps here it would be important for me upfront to indicate what our principals are trying to also clarify to the people of South Africa, that even though we have that responsibility for security of supply, on the electricity side, the ESCOM, which is responsible for provision of most of our electricity, does not report directly to the department. But of course, we have to ensure that the policy and regulatory framework is there so that they are able then to do what they have to do. In terms of infrastructure development, we have to facilitate efficient and making sure that there is a infrastructure that is responsive. that would include the pipelines and that have to be constructed to ensure that the liquid fuels move from where it is, as well as the gas pipeline. Regulation and competition, that is certainly undertaken on the safety side by the NNR, but on the economic side also by NERSA. And we have to make sure that there is policy certainty, which then NERSA uses in, for example, tariff setting. Then universal access to modern energy services, that is something that we are proud of. We will give some numbers in as far as that is concerned in when it comes to electrification. That environmental assets are protected, and that is an area where we continually use the services of SANEDI to make sure that there is a research and development into cleaner forms of energy, but also making sure that the coal that we use, technology is developed to make sure that it is cleaner. Then response to climate change is one of the areas where we also focus on. Very importantly, chairperson, then corporate governance, making sure that within ourselves as a department, we do things that are in line with the prescripts, but also that the entities that report to the department conduct themselves in a manner that is consistent with the requirements of our constitution in the country. In the first IPS chairperson, I have just to say that in the first of those 5 years, we reported under, we were hosted by the Department of Mineral Resources, DG, and it took a couple of months before we we had a standalone department. But we were able to achieve, we believe, quite a lot, and we will talk to those areas. Just going quickly to the highlights. In the last 5 years, basically, we were able to achieve over 1 million new connections in this program that we are proud of, the National Electricity Electrification Program. We also we introduced ITPs after producing the Integrated Resource Plan, the IRP, and the Integrated Resource Plan 2010. And that was the country electricity plan. And flowing from that, independent power producers we introduced into the country at a fairly rapid pace. And with that, Chairperson Wu and honorable members were able to attract over 100 billion of foreign direct investment. And in fact, most of those independent power producers are busy with the construction as we speak, and some are already producing and delivering electricity to the grid. We went a long way in ensuring regulatory certainty to such an extent that even on the fuel side, petroleum side, we're able to attract investments by some of the companies. I think one of the big examples was the 3.8 billion expansion program that was announced by BP in expanding their network. That, of course, came because there was regulatory certainty. We are not yet there. There are still challenges going forward, and we still have some work to do, and we would welcome the guidance as well from the committee. In terms of the challenges, I think the first one, it is very clear. The generation capacity continues to be a challenge. And I must say here that the focus, therefore, in the short term, to deal with this would to be able to support ECOM in concluding or completing the construction of the power plants that they are constructing in Dupi in particular, but also in Kusia. I think that from a departmental perspective, we need to focus on that. Then the distribution infrastructure, I think it is a problem, and the management of the distribution business. The electricity distribution infrastructure in municipalities continues to be a challenge. There isn't sufficient investment, and I think because this area of the electricity regulation in terms of the constitution is a competence of local government, it then makes interventions that much more difficult because there is a limit to it as a department we can then intervene. But of course, the NERSA has got that capacity to intervene. And their focus this financial year is going to be more on compliance, making sure that municipalities comply to the obligations in terms of their licenses. Cost of energy continues to be a challenge, both on the tariffs for electricity, but also on the liquid fuel side. That continues to be a challenge, and I must say here, Jefferson, that the events in the Middle East currently, as well as events in Ukraine and its surrounding areas, are not helping us in as far as the price of petrol and diesel is concerned. I think that we are likely to witness an upward move in as far as that is concerned because of what is happening in Iraq, what is happening in Libya, what is happening in Gaza, I think, and Israel. I think that those are beginning to show in the prices of crude oil. Of course, then that is going to pass to us in as far as petrol is concerned. Access, so we still have a backlog. We have 14% of South Africans without access, and that continues to be a challenge to us. But of course, we have a plan in as far as concerned. Energy efficiency, I think as a country we should not be proud of what we do in as far as energy efficiency is concerned. And this is for all of us, Chairperson. This is an area where I believe every South African can make a difference because we are the ones who consume. We are the ones in charge of the institutions that consume. So, but we turn a blind eye when we see lights that are on. We don't check what kind of lighting is used. In fact, I was just thinking that one of the things that we may have to do a Jefferson is to just do a quick audit of the buildings where the representatives of our people are, so that we can ensure that at least the lighting that is used in these buildings is the most efficient form of lighting that's the end use. But of course, it's not just the lighting, it's also on the liquid fuel side, it's the cars that people buy. People buy cars without thinking about the consumption. And that is a culture that we have to develop, and we have a plan to partner on that. The skills continue to be a challenge. That there's no doubt about that. In the sector as a whole, I believe that had we had the requisite skills as far as project management in some of the construction sites, we would not be where we are today. So the skills levels generally, I think, have got long time. So that experience, he had experience in as far as operating these assets, but in as far as actually constructing them, I think that becomes new to many of us. Then the other issue is transformation. I don't believe that, particularly in the liquid fuel sector, that we've gone far enough in as far as transformation of a sector is concerned. The statistics in as far as ownership of retail service stations, for example, is not something that I believe is in keeping with the kind of society that we've been asked to ensure that we develop. So those are the challenges, but we believe that we have programs that can deal with these challenges. In as far as what we have done for this current financial year, we had planned, but of course we planned and we said as a team we'll be cautious because there's an election. And after an election, then that's where we need to refine our plans. So post the election, we have had to revisit our plans to align with the medium-term strategic framework that came out of that will be basically the blueprint for the FIFA administration, and also taking the cue from the State of the Nation address. In terms of allocations, these are the allocations that for this year, we have 7.4 billion, but I must hasten to add that 93% of that is transfers. So we then basically have to make do with 7% of that. But the CFO will cover that. There has been an increase in our budget, which we are very thankful for, and that is mainly because of allocations to the electrification program. And again, the CFO will cover that, as well as the solar water giveback program. Then the next two slides, basically, which will be from my side, the last the slides, basically talk to the contribution that the outcomes where as a department we contribute to. And these are basically the ones that are outlined there. We are structured as departments to contribute to particular outcomes, and in terms of these, then the minister and deputy minister sign agreements with the president that then talk to the outcomes that have referred to there on employment, economic infrastructure, rural development, human settlements, local government, as well as the environment. So those are the outcomes which we contribute. Then in terms of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, these are the strategic integrated projects that involve the Department of Energy. We participate in SIP 1, SIP 4, SIP 6, SIP 8, and 9, as well as 10. And I think it will be perhaps useful that at a later stage we come back and just perhaps go deeper into our involvement on these on this strategic integrated project. The key focus area for 2014-15 financial year is of course to use the budget that has been allocated, the increase, to make sure that we have additional connections. I think here, Chairperson and honorable members, there's been our annual report is about to be concluded, and we like what the AG has been able to verify even for the 2014 financial year in terms of how many connections have been done. and when we come back, we believe that we will have a good news for the committee. The momentum for solar water heaters, we want to accelerate that. We want to finalize also the integrated energy plan and focusing more on a detailed infrastructure plan. Maintenance of the distribution industry. There are municipalities that have been targeted this year to make sure that we can assist them.
Thank you very much, Minister. I had to in-house when you came in. We will not be talking there. You have come. Thank you very much. Is this Duncan? Yes, Duncan. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, proceed. We will come back to the Minister once you're done. Thank you.
We also then, Chairperson, want to strengthen the liquid fuel industry. The one area is to make sure that we are able to respond to any geopolitical developments as a country, and this is an area that we want to work on. We need to build more emergency stocks of petroleum as well as crude oil going forward. Then the last from my side before I hand over with your permission Chair, to the CFO is the facilitation of the process that leads to the implementation of the decision that has been taken on the nuclear program. And that is work that will be underway this financial year. From the guidance that we got, Chair, from the committee, the bulk of the presentation then focuses on the finances, mainly on the budget of the department. And if the Chair so allows, I would request that the CFO be allowed to take us through the budget section of the presentation.
Thank you, DG. Minister, you are officially welcome. It is always a good pleasure to have you amongst ourselves. We did get your apology that you might be arriving late because of other commitments, but I know that you always give NCOP your priority. So we are very humbled by your presence in this meeting today. You came in the middle when the department was making a presentation. As you can hear now that we are going to show to the CFO. But I think you've got one thing to say. I listened to your speech yesterday. I must say, we are under pressure. Ourselves, this afternoon we were debating. Debating for the whole week in the SGOV. Having six departments overseeing. So we are having that kind of pressure. But nevertheless, thank you over to you. Maybe you want to say one or two things?
My apologies again for being late, Chairperson, but we all understand that that you are under pressure and that there's about 6,000 budget votes happening every day. So we're really running, but we do prioritize the select committee. My humblest apologies for being late. I'm also pleased you do know that ESCOM doesn't report to us, but the success of ESCOM will be our success. And if there's problems with ESCOM, people do not even realize that ESCOM does report to this department, but they report to public enterprises. So we'll be able to give you, before the CFO at the political level, we'll give you a thorough briefing on the situation at ESCOM, which is quite challenging for the moment. And there are also various acts in the mineral sector, which we asked that the minister holds in the bayons, and once we've done this briefing, we can have further briefings on the legislation that we need to bring through, especially in this year, would like to give Select Committee a thorough briefing on the acts which we need to bring through. We mentioned them yesterday. We also need to have a very thorough discussion on our SOEs, prepared to implement the SOEs. I have requested in writing that the Deputy Minister be responsible for the SOEs. They take a huge chunk of our budget, and we have been inclined to transfer money and not be concerned with monitoring and evaluation of how our money has been spent. So the mandate now to the department is to follow each and every cent that we have transferred. The SOE future legislation, we have a very little small slide on ESCOM, but we have to go into detail on that. And lastly, we have to go into detail on the municipalities and our role in municipalities. Because for now, we've also just transferred money to municipalities without following through on what happens to that money. And the municipalities are essentially at the rock face of delivery of services and will always be embroiled in service delivery protests if the Department of State will not want to micromanage municipalities. But our involvement and our footprint have to be one which says no, what does that mean with electricity or energy or any form of energy in the municipalities we serve. Again, to our deputy has just been very, very focused on keeping into the detail of what happens in each SOE. The deputy minister has really been seized with this huge chunk of where our money goes. We also will have to brief you on the international relations of the department. Our responsibility in SADC, in the continent, in Africa, in BRICS, and our global responsibilities are more pronounced now. It's better that it's pronounced because at least it is defined. We have run out of time to debate whether we're going to do this or to the other. We have made definite decisions. So whether the country is going to use nuclear power or not, it is no longer the debate. President has made a pronouncement on it. We are going to do nuclear power. We need the energy. We have to work out the details now. And there's a number of the announcements which the President has made. Immediately there's an assumption that there'll be, when you have nuclear, there'll be a huge procurement process. That has never been decided. So the funding of a number of these announcements is what we have to present to you. And funding is not necessarily going to come from this administration or the circus of this country. But whatever we do, we'll do in a transparent manner. We are meeting today with on the nuclear sector. And the discussions for now are at the advanced level. We'll bring it to you when we're comfortable that we are ready to do so. Again, Chairperson, thank you for having us with you today.
Thank you, Minister, for that. Certainly, as a committee, after the such a vote, we have to sit down and see how best to utilize and assessing that information to the best ability of the committee. Thank you very much. Let's go to the gentleman and proceed to the CFO, the person who said the press who is doing transfers. 93% of your budget goes to municipalities, so you are left with 7%. I think you are not the only department that is having this level of powerful approach. I will talk later to that some level. And I understand the political conditions that you place serious ones. It's not for this committee, but let's go to the budget. CFO, are you ready to shoot? Give us the money.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, Acting Regent, colleagues. I'll present you the 2014-15 budget with some comments and to also take into account the comments made by the committee and the request that came to the department. As was stated by the Deputy Minister in the opening comments, the Minister and the Acting DG, 93% of our funds do indeed go to the municipalities and entities, but for various projects that is under the umbrella of the department. For the financial year of 2014-15, we have 7.7
4 billion rand, and that was an increase from the 2012-13 financial year, where we had 6.8 billion. For the 2013 financial year that just ended, we are in the final stages of the audit, and we should be concluding. Oh, I've lost our presentation. Sir, may I proceed? Because we have hard copies, or should I wait?
Before, I think you have to proceed. Thank you.
Okay, Chair, as I was mentioning, the 2013-14 financial year that ended on the 31st of March 2014, the final audit is underway. I think we're at concluding stage at the moment. For that budget, we spent 99.6% of our budget. 26.1 million was unspent. However, 20.4 million has been requested as a rollover. The outcome of this application to National Treasury will be made available to the department, I think around the first, second week of August this year. But the project that we have requested a rollover for has not stopped because we are pending the outcome of that application. You would see on this slide between 2013 and 2014, there has been a decrease of 3%, but that is just there's one reason that's the main contributor, and it's for the multi-product pipeline, the funds that we used to pay to Transnet to oversee that project, and that stopped in 2012-13 financial year. From 2013-14 financial year to 2014-15, we had a 40% increase in the budget, and there's been significant growth in the electrification programs, which is carried out by ESCOM and the municipalities. I will give you more details as we proceed to the arguments. The next slide is the 2014-15 budget breakdown. Okay, all I'm trying to illustrate in the slide is to give you the share of the budget that we hold per program and per entity that might have been allocated to. Under administration, it covers the ministry, the DG's office, the Chief Financial Officer, the Chief Operating Officer, and Internal Audit, and Corporate Services as well. And much of this money is for the operations of the department. Energy Policy Planning takes 0.71% of the budget. Petroleum Products and Regulation takes 1.12%. Electrification Energy Programs Projects Management takes 0.67%. Nuclear energy, 0.59%, clean energy, 0.68%, salary takes 2.19%, and I'll give the reasons thereof. For membership fees, therefore international membership fees, there's an amount allocated of 0.16%. Okay, we're on the slide. Demand side and efficiency management takes a big share of this budget, 23.91%. Next slide takes 10.2%. National Nuclear Regulator takes 0.45%. And the Electrification Program takes the biggest chunk of 55.95%. And Chair, I'll give the reasons on the next slide. Chair, from the slide, this illustrates where the major portion of our budget is allocated. And from the slide, we can deduce that the INET program, that's run by Dr. Barnard, takes the major portion of it. The acceleration of the electrification program and the increased allocations to ESCOM to address the electrification backlogs and for permanently occupied residential dwellings has also contributed to that increase. And we've also increased some of the transfers to municipalities. And then when it comes to NESA, which is the purple part of the pie, we have allocated to NESA a one-off funding of 190 million rand to upgrade the aging facilities at the Pelindaba site. It's those are the strategic infrastructure maintenance that has to be done at the site because the infrastructure is fairly old. The green portion of the chart is demand side and efficiency program. This allocation is a fair amount of the budget as well, which is 1.7 billion rand.
It is for programs that run by FM as well and some of the municipalities. Included in this allocation chair is a project that was undertaken by the department for the verification of the local content for solar water heating program. And for this project, we are in final stages and we should have a conclusion there soon. And we have given 162 million to Saneri. Included in this allocation, we have allocated money for hydraulic fracturing projects and for carbon capture and storage projects as well. Could you move to the next slide, please? Chair, the six programs which I have mentioned earlier on, administration, which I have told you covers all the areas directed underneath that program, and the other five programs which is line function. But what you can deduce from this lecture, and what I was trying to highlight, is that compensation and goods and services for the line function branches are fairly low. However, there are continuing engagements with National Treasury to address some of these issues. And from the first year of operation in the department, a fairly low budget was allocated for compensation of staff and goods and services, and we have managed to increase it over the last years. However, it's still not sufficient and those engagements are still continuing. If we can move to the next slide, please. Chair, this highlights, I was hoping to explain that the transfer for the department, as we mentioned, is 93%, and it takes a fair portion over the MTF period, and a similar trend is applicable over the MTF period. It still continues to be the trend. For transfers that we make to entities and municipalities, as the Minister has mentioned, we do transfer funds. We do transfer the funds in terms of the DORA Act, that's the Division of Revenue Act, and when we do that for the grid connections, and for non-grid, the funds are transferred in terms of memorandum of understanding and agreement with municipalities. So funds are only transferred with those agreements in place. However, Chair, there is more focus that's required in terms of the oversight functions, and that is run by Dr. Barna's section. We do have a fair amount of challenges in the area at municipality level. There are a whole host of reasons for this. Some of them are vacancy level, skills level, at municipality levels. But the department does make an effort to assist where necessary and where possible. So we do have some challenges in this area. But when we do engage National Treasury, this is one of the points that we would highlight, that there's more focus that's required or more energy that's required to oversee some of the projects at municipal levels. Chair, I think I've given the main reasons for most of the increases. If I left any, I would be happy to answer those, but I think I've covered most of the issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any additions?
Thank you, Chair. The programs, Chair, with your permission, is that the branch heads would quickly just talk to, if time allows, Chair, to some of the issues. If I can just ask, with your permission, that Dr. Barnard just takes us through the INEP program, and then I think in the interest of time, what I would suggest, Chair, or what I would request, Chair, is that he then just takes us through to the end of the program, instead of having each one of the DDGs go through. Thanks.
Mr. Barnard, I'm sure sooner or later my heart will be on
Thank you.
back to then give more specific reporting on this. But I think it's important in the slide, just in terms of the application program, it is managed through two or three entities. The grid part is either municipalities or ESCOM, because our country is wall-to-wall licensed. It depends on where the license is falling, the allocations made to the respective entity. The non-grid part is mostly in the hands of concessionaires or private service providers, and in some respects also start to venture into that. I think the next slide is just a summary of this last financial year's location separated between the ESCOM and the municipalities, because of the fact that the Honourable Committee is then also representing according to provincial responsibilities, hence why the provincial breakdown is being given here. Beyond that is a whole data of the various municipalities that we can share, but it's just a high level to see where it's been allocated and to which provinces the various allocations have been made. I think the next slide, is there just a summary of the last, if I just ask for the next slide. The next slide. It's just a summary of the last financial cycle. I think it's important just to take note of the delivery of the entities as being highlighted. And I think what is important is that the last financial cycle, over 300,000 connections, new connections have been achieved. And that's thanks to a very good cooperation from ESCOM and some municipalities in the areas. I must say some, because we're not getting from all of them support. I think that is that we are looking for, that has been alluded to, and I think what's important for us as a department, as a line function national department, is also respect the various seats of government, but in the fact that funds of the tune of 3.5 to 4 billion rand in transit, we do have implement various actions to ensure that the allocations and the delivery on the ground is effective and efficient. Hence why that figure of 300,000 is the same figure that we reached 11 years ago. The industry went through, it was early years, so it's easy to electrify, low-hanging fruits. The networks are there, you just extend the networks. Right now, it's a totally different story. You're in deep rural areas, no infrastructure, so you have to roll out infrastructure. If you do arrive in different areas, and the networks is mostly not up to standard, or they have enough capacity, so it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have to bring new networks. So that's much more time-consuming and cost-challenging. But irrespective of that, we can report to the committee that there was a dramatic increase. You could see the target was overshot by 46,000 units. But that, in terms of the damage, I think is something that we can be proud of in terms of the officials. But specifically, I think the cooperation got from the entities. But also the oversight. Even oversight is very important. We tighten the contracts, we tighten the way we make sure that funds are not flowing next financial cycle if they haven't reported. If they have to report monthly. So if they report, we report them over to National Treasury, and then those funds are being reported. And they don't like that. But unfortunately, they're not suffered, but the customers supposed to receive the service is the ones that is on the short interview. We also introduced some energy forums, and then we also do our planning now on the start of a master plan. I think that is then for this financial cycle. We just finished, can I just see the next slide? Just summary of what we plan for the current financial cycle, the breakdown between municipalities, ESCOM, and the concessionaire areas. The next two slides I'm not going to deal with, Honourable Chair, because that is just detail around municipalities and ESCOM. It's for reading and for background information. We can deal with that if you want. It's in a more detailed later stage. Can I just ask that we move to slide 27? Pass that one? That one, yeah. Just one back, please. I think, Honourable Chair, just another topic is the topic of the renewable independent power producers, that is outflow of our IRP, the Integrated Resource Plan, which then makes provision for the allocation of a certain amount of megawatts to be allocated to the IRPs for renewable energy. I just want to summarize by mentioning that on the delivery side, as you are aware, this program is broken down in windows. The first window was 28 independent power producers being earmarked in the time of the dates I've been given there. Out of those 28, 14 are currently been supplying electricity into the grid. just over 600 megawatts of green power currently supplied into the grid. I can also mention that two of the 1917 the country business construction work, the other two are due to the fact that the town comes to such a nature that I are indicated they can start late because of connectivity to Eskom's grid that they're waiting for. And then on the Windows 3, the plant closure is in the process, and that will be happening in the next couple of months. I think it's important, the one thing is security of supply, but we also have to it, members, is the social economic development part. Not only part parcel during the building program that certain allocations been made, but for youth and women-owned entities, but specifically during the operational part, where the social economic benefits need to flow through to the communities and environment around these IVPs. I think there's a lot of work that has been done and more to be done on that to make sure that that benefits are flowing in the right direction. But what also needs to be taken cognizance of that these will start trickling down to the communities when the operations are fully in tune. Now we just talk about they're coming online. The next slide, Chair, is just quickly highlight summary on the SolarWood Insa program. We can just mention that actually we moved out of the previous dispensation of what we call rebate SolarWood Insa program into the contracting program, where the focus is specifically on 70% local content in terms of manufacturing, no imported stuff, and has been with a rebate where we are sitting with quite malfunctioned systems and the way we install them. That has been recouped with this contracting model process, and then also we're busy now to finalize the verification of the local manufactured products and manufacturers to ensure that the rollout, which we indicated in terms of 80% low pressure and 20% high pressure, will then be done according to this allocation. ESCO will be the project coordinator, managers to implement this on us. Before. The implementation chair will be done specifically focused at SMEs with a youth focus and women-owned ownership. And I think it's important also this contract model also to look at the maintenance part. The next slide, just for the next segment, I can deal with it, is to break down the problem again for the rest of the various provinces in terms of allocation. These are based on the applications received by municipalities. That's based on the quality of the water at a specific municipality, structure of the households, and also the quantity of water that's available. Honestly, I think that ends my part. I just ask through the DG's permission that a new clip I'll just in the out with Ms. Minister.
You've got 7 minutes because I don't want to deny the other departments. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Chairperson, once again, with your permission, let me continue. I think I have finished in 7 minutes. The nuclear program, I think within this year, we want to spend quite a lot of time looking at issues of communicating about the nuclear energy in general. Enhancing public awareness. I think the work or the role of nuclear medicine, for example, is understated. And the fact that we are in the top three in the world in as far as the production of radioisotopes is something that we don't talk about. And yet these are produced basically using nuclear techniques that involve uranium, which is enriched, and involve irradiating of these materials in a nuclear reactor. Without that nuclear reactor, you cannot have this successful nuclear medicine program of the country. You cannot have it. You need the reactor at Pelinda to do it. So those are some of the messages that I think we need to start communicating. And then the fact that we've had Quebec, one unit for 29 years, the other unit for 30 years. No incident of safety. And it can still go on. basically for the two power plants can still go on for a number of years. And in fact, being one of the lowest producers, in fact, in lowest cost in terms of production of electricity as things stand now within the fleet of reactors that power plants that Eskom has. We need to work on finalizing, very importantly, what is required in terms of the NDP with the financing and funding mechanisms that are identified in the NDP, and that is the work that we will be focusing on in the short term. Then in the economic impact assessment, as well as organization, we're working very closely with the Department of Trade and Industry, and in fact, if the committee so wishes, we could be available with trade and industry to come and talk about the preparations on localization of the manufacturing, the work that we have done there. And then the issue of the, basically, on an area like this, you basically work on expertise that you need, particularly on the issues of procurement. You need to then start looking at what kind of expertise you can have to assist us on that. That is the work that will be undertaken. The legislative program, I think I won't go through it chair in detail, but to say, as Minister announced yesterday at the National Assembly, the pieces of legislation that will be ready to be brought to Parliament, basically are the amendments on the regulation amendment, electricity regulation amendment bill, the NEPSA amendment bill, the gas amendment, as well as some work will be done on the ISMO bill to make it respond to the challenges that the energy sector faces. Lastly, I think there's been a typo, a very unfortunate one, because the budget over the MTF does respond to the issues that are outlined there, and it is I apologize, it's a major one. Thank you, Chair. We've adapted it, and as I indicated from the beginning, to the State of the Nation address, to the what is directed in the NDP, the medium-term strategic framework, and as well as the government priorities broadly. We continue to have transfers as a major portion, and the performance of the department in line function areas, I think that, as indicated by the Minister, monitoring and evaluation is going to be a major focus, as indicated driven by the Deputy Minister. We are already beginning to feel that impact, and it is positive, it is spurring us to action. The funding priorities, of course, in the next MTF, we have a meeting with Treasury next week to basically discuss the priorities going forward. So with that, basically, that concludes this part of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for this presentation. I must also say that surely, Minister, we will have to come back. Okay. You know, as you left some of the hearings that have been raised by the department, because there are serious matters that we want to engage with. At a later stage, I think you did allude to that. Even the ODM has also alluded to that. So, rest assured, we'll call you back not talking about parties, but just about the movement of the department and how they impact to our communities. Because you see, we come from provinces, and each one of us, when we go back on recess, would like to witness these projects that we are engaged with. So that we give also the story of what happened on the ground. We'll measure that against what you have written. So we're more of full soldiers, but we're also policymakers in that regard. So we will come back so that we can witness what you said. I would like to talk myself, but I do have some issues to raise. Maybe before that, let I allow my colleagues, honorable members, to invite on the budget. It has been presented. You did read it. The highlights, the challenges, the vision, and so on of the department. Any questions? I will start from honorable member Kuwer, and then number two, my friend, my home girl. Honorable member Meg, it is the last one so far. Please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you as well to the Minister and Deputy Minister and the Acting DG. I'm excited by what is in here, in the document that's presented to us. I'm, however, worried, firstly, about the question of oversight. That's part of our responsibility in the NCOP, particularly in our relationships with Hong Kong. And while we welcome the idea mooted by the Minister that we need to meet more, I'm worried that we only have 5 years. And we need to maybe tie a little bit the whole question of oversight. I see in the concluding slide on the second bullet you are mentioning or acknowledging the human and financial constraints in the department's oversight role. And if we are allocating such a significant proportion of the budget to municipalities, it's going to be imperative that we deal with that oversight. My next 2 points are just going to be questions. The first is, can you tell a little bit more what has happened to the INGA project in the DRC? And the second one would be more related to Nigeria. You mentioned the problems in the Middle East, and isn't it that the present uncertainty in Nigeria may also have an adverse impact on the supply of petroleum from that country? For now, I mean, I have many more, but I will constrain myself for now. Thank you, Chair.
Are you referring to Boko Haram? Alright, I understand the question. Thank you very much. Number two?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, it intrigues me that we're getting 50% of our crude oil from Angola, and I would like to know who we're buying from. It is 50% from Africa, African sources, and you said 50% from Saudi Arabia, and a balance from Kenya and Angola. That's what I heard. Nigeria, sorry. So I want to know who do we buy from in Angola. Thank you for answering my question already. In the past, when it comes to municipalities, in the past, National Treasury said to us that the infrastructure in local municipalities at Eskom, the money is in the pipeline. And that was when the backlog was standing at 38 billion rand. Now the backlog is at 50 billion. And it now appears as though energy is going to step in and do something about it. I also want to know what is happening to the debt owed by the municipalities to Eskom. Is that going to be affected by energy or improved by energy, and if so, how? Then when it comes to nuclear, I'm glad that we're going to come back to it. I just want to know this state, where are we in terms of the regulatory framework? You did mention the legislation that's coming, but we need to know for sure that the legislation or the regulatory framework is going to be in place before we get to the actual situation. And then I think a quick one is on Adam. Slide 18 says there's no room out there. And then when we look at the slide 19, it refers to Adam. And then when we look at slide 23, it refers to Adam. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. And dear person, I will also leave the rest. I just want to remark on slide 29 that when Kuberg and the efficiency of Kuberg was mentioned in the safety, of course it worked very well except for the spanner days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the ruling and has covered me on slide number 18. But then I would want the department to explain why the Adams allocation is selective from slide number 21. And the other thing, normally we don't applaud what the good work that the department has done, but today I just want to say I'm looking on slide number 8 on the highlight for the first 5 years. I think here they deserve an accolade because I can see that they're telling us a good story. Where they brought the figures of electricity connection to 6 million for the past 20 years. Well done, keep it up. And as you continue to take care of the rural areas. I mean, where I come from, many areas have electricity. Thanks.
Many areas have got electricity. That's why it's a good story. And I want a figure, but before you, I'll give honorable colleague. But
thank you, sir. I'm going to try and be brief, but I might take a long time about it. Okay, the first thing is the usage that was mentioned and that we should try to save electricity. I'm just concerned, can we get some idea or maybe differentials of where energy is being spent in the different sectors of the economy in South Africa, so that gives us a baseline from which we can work to see where there will really be an impact when saving. Also helps us understand the economics and the impact on the economy depending on that saving and so on. Secondly, I heard mention of $100 million in investment. I was concerned that investments in South Africa should always have a South African component, a big collective component in that investment, also that the investment should be made with socio-economic justice in mind. Again, I'm going to try and be as brief as possible. Nuclear energy, I understand, but I think what's very, very important going forward is the safety. But also, I this is just a discussion point. Sub-Saharan Africa has such huge potential, energy potential, that I'm not sure that nuclear energy is the right way to go. If we take the Congo River alone, the potential to produce energy from the Congo River alone is sufficient for the whole of Africa and even enough to export outside of Africa. The other issue is the one about, I think you said it was NELSA that intervenes the total government. What kind of intervention takes place? Give us an idea. I'm trying to be brief again. My next point, I think Honourable Makoa mentioned this briefly in passing, something like 93% goes to local government of the budget, but yet at the same time we are saying that we don't know what happens, so how did we reconcile the budget of 2013, 2012, 2013, the last budget, how is it being reconciled when we don't have, we don't know where the money is going to, so I'm a bit concerned about that, maybe I misunderstood that. Finally, when we talk of good international relations with the countries that are supplying us, I'm just concerned, I hope you're relationship. Nigeria isn't going to that extent where every time Bafana play Nigeria, we lose. So I'm hoping you guys don't have something to do with that. Okay. All right. And then finally, finally, we should consider other countries. And I think very important is Venezuela and the Iran. These are the two most stable countries, and they have huge resources that we can draw from. Maybe we should be looking in that direction. Thank you.
Oda. Alright. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Alright, any other questions from us? Because we might take one on COVID. Honourable Member Whip of the committee, and then Uchako, you'll be the last one.
Just one point from Master Chair. The strategic link between the department and Eskom, I heard an input that says Eskom is not directly accountable to them. Can we develop a little bit on that so I can understand exactly the strategic link between those services?
Okay. Which was the question? You can bring us to it. Last question of yours. I think the leader did allude to that. But nevertheless, they will sort. Chapo.
Thank you, Jay. I think it was the DG that referred to some municipalities not giving their support. Can you just elaborate on why it is that they're not giving their support, and also who is the municipalities that are not giving their support? But we can follow up on that. I'm not going to do that. Just try and check. I mean, the DG said that we must look at the cars that we're driving. I would like to know what you see as a fuel-efficient car and what the department's officials are driving. Start at home. Then... and then, are there any forward cover on fuel purchases for emergency users? Like, just... Okay, and lastly, I think the Uncle Fundamental in the past has an audit been done on the buildings and apartments that we are using, and are we using the most fuel-efficient lighting and services available, again, taking the example from the department and the government side.
As you fade with your questions, you have not told us or
at time. I drive a Toyota. I'm not in the government party. I drive a cheaper car. And if we're going to go to Nigeria, I mean, yes, if we can get Keshi to go to Bafana, it might help as well.
Member Mukwe. Fana, any question? You talk economics.
I might have a bit. I was just wondering about the natural gas pipeline between Mozambique and Secunda. My understanding of the pipeline was that it's owned by government, and that Sasol is leasing the pipeline into South Africa. It's also my understanding that Sasol has a 20 or 30 year lease on that pipeline starting in 1994. So I'm just asking if one, that lease has expired, what happens to it? And then two, why, given that we have such a huge energy problem in this country, why are we not using more articulation, especially towards RTP houses, utilizing LPG and so on and so forth? Thank you, sir, for allowing me to speak.
I know you've got a passion. When you go ask for it, those technical questions, you always look that right. Don't look at me. Don't you have to look at me. But nevertheless, you spoke very well. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's the logic as of now. I will come later. Tell your office to that. And please, you should be very brief in the point, because we don't want to deny the other departments. They are not your appendix. They are independent. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to Minister and Deputy Minister for allowing us to respond. Briefly on the issue of Nigeria, if I may start with that one, I'll come back to the Inga issue. On Nigeria, most of the production of oil in Nigeria has moved offshore. So what happens onshore tends not to have an impact. And that's how that's affected. Whereas in a country like Iraq, most of the production is happening onshore. And that is the major difference. A lot of the oil companies are moving offshore in the continent actually. Now, whether that is the right thing or not, it's another matter. But they de-risk most of the projects by moving offshore. So, however, in as far as the impact on crude oil prices, any disturbance in Nigeria because of the lightness of the crude oil, it then has an impact on the price of crude, a negative one. On the issue of Inga, I think the project is on track, and I think that it has advanced and it's going to advance even further. I think the detail on that will come when the minister approaches the parliament on the matter. On Angola, just quickly, what happens is that it's the oil companies that do the purchasing. So what happened in 1999 is that the procurement of crude oil was deregulated, basically. So Chevron procures for itself. Shell procures for itself and so on. And the tendency, therefore, would be for them to want to keep those, commercial discussions to themselves, or that there's competition that might know how they are keeping themselves more competitive. So it's a purely, at the moment, purely oil company-driven procurement process. On nuclear, I think the regulatory framework, we have a very good, in my view, legislative framework, which was far-reaching when it was passed by Parliament in 1999. It caters for basically most of the requirements for building a nuclear a program. There may be some regulatory amendments that are required, more in terms of liability for the original equipment manufacturers. Most of them feel that they are not protected, that their liability will follow them. But that's how Parliament designed it, that if you supply equipment to this country, you will remain liable as that, supplier of equipment. That's how our legislation was designed. However, their view is that we need an amendment that will restrict that liability. Now, I think that it may work for them, but may not work for us, because we would want as a country to be able to claim to a supplier of equipment whether the equipment was supplied 10, 15 years ago. If we had operated the plant according to specification, then we need to be able to claim if it causes any damage to any part of our society. On the nuclear issue, what is happening in the continent is very interesting.
on this front, and it's something we don't talk about a lot. Kenya has discovered oil. However, at the moment, I think if you were to count the number of Africans who are being trained in nuclear energy, probably Kenya would be having more of their students that are being trained in preparation, because it's clear to us that they are preparing for a nuclear program. It's clear to us that Nigeria is preparing for a nuclear program. It's clear to us that Egypt is also preparing for a massive a nuclear program. So we are, in our view, not alone as a country on this. So this is what is happening in other countries. I think the issue of international relations, I'm going to leave some of the questions to Dr. Barnett and Mr. Hane with your permission, Chair. The international relations, I think the issue of Venezuela is one that FSA continues to try and strengthen the relationship with Venezuela. But of course, because they don't have a crude oil processing facility, and the crude oil procurement was deregulated, it makes it a bit challenging. And the other issue with Venezuela that I can mention is that their crude is known to be a bit heavy and sour. And now the sour, of course, is not like milk, but it's the amount of sulfur that is in the crude oil, it makes it difficult. Iran used to get 30% of our crude from Iran until, of course, there were sanctions imposed not by South Africa but by the U.S. and the EU. Now, that had an impact because most of these oil companies operating here, they have their headquarters in EU or U.S. jurisdictions. So in terms of that, then they get prohibited from dealing with Iran. Now, that is an area of policy which we are looking into as to how that can be changed. And then the pipeline from Mozambique is owned 50% by Sasol, 25% by South African government, 25% by the Mozambican government. And that is the breakdown. And currently there's work underway to double the capacity of that pipeline. As it is, that pipeline is full. It's being used to capacity. There is a power plant that has been constructed and is operating in Sasol, actually producing electricity. And that is as a result of the gas that has been diverted to be able to provide gas to that area. I think the details on the pipeline, you know, dispensation, what was agreed with Mozambique, we can come back on that one. However, there was an exclusive tariff dispensation on the pipeline, which then has basically expired, and that opens then up the use of gas, particularly the tariffs that are charged, to basically to be regulated by NERSA. And that was not the case before. But there is very little at the moment that can be done with that gas because of the fact that it's being used all of it is being used and it's full. The doubling is taking place, the capacity will be doubled, and by 2018, you know, there should be more gas from Mozambique available to bring. Then I'd like my colleagues to assist the starting chair with the permission, with Dr. Bernard and then the applicants.
Thanks. Very good. There's five or six, but I'm combining the first one from on the backlog. It's going to increase, but the debt between the contract for the municipality is committed. It's last night level. We're looking at the policies with respect to the backlogs to address it. It's not, not only a funding problem, it's a resource problem also. So, and it's why we have been engaged in this pilot. Mini-Adam, which is reflected on slide 21. And we only received 320 million rands. And as rightly been mentioned is, if you talk about the 50 billion rands backlog, doesn't matter how you divide 320 million and 50 billion, you're going to be in trouble in terms of how you divide it. So what we did is we had a criteria to choose a list of small, medium, large municipalities, and within that, then picked those that have a certain application in the way, and we dealt only with seven municipalities and two metros spread through those respective as listed in the names, and I think we give it. But it was a pilot program, and what I can mention is, up till now, very good progress has been made with this. In the way we deal with, as I mentioned, not a funding problem, it's a funding and service problem. What did you have the reactive team that is following and assisting municipalities in dealing with those amounts that have been given here? And what happened is the 320 million, if you convert it, if you look at what the original tender prices that we received was over 50 billion rands, over 500 million rands. So by just negotiating our skills on the spot, we negotiated down that those projects have been fit into the 320 million rand, just because there's a lack of skills, and when we come to the team, we could assist, and also project management. So just on covering that. The last one I just wanted to deal with, the second last one, is the issue on the comment and the request on 150 billion rand on investment into renewable IVPs, and what is the South African component of that, what's the benefit of getting out of it. Yes, in the contract, it is built in terms of the building period, what is the allocation and the build within South Africa, and with each window that's been increased the local content, because we started from zero base, we're increasing that, but in this last window is already over 45%, so it's increasing the local content, but also the benefit of those projects have been in a linkage directly with the communities around those projects. There's different models, the one is where there's ownership, the one is there's the trust that's been formed, but it definitely forms part and parcel of that contract. So that's a given. I think the comment on the 90% in transit municipalities, it's actually the electrification component is 56%, but when that's a total, and of that, only 20% is delegated municipalities, because the rest is for ESCOM. So as indicated in the presentation part is that we are tightening, and with all respect, if you're not on the spot, you're not going to get 300,000 connections in 1 year out. To convert it to reality, it's 30 seconds, 35 seconds, as you speak here, 35 seconds, and your connection is being made. That's done when your system is working effectively. Yes, it's been improving, but we have been improving quite dramatically. The last one in terms of the names of municipalities that is not supported. What we do, like I just mentioned, there are 182 licensed municipalities. Of those, around 60% is not delivered on delivering on what we expect. There is also called the orange group. So around 20% is deliver where we want them to deliver. But remember, we also move off the bar. So monthly, we compiling a report on each of our projects so that can be made available. But I don't have it here. I mean, obviously it's here. I have it here on my laptop. If you can understand it's on this. Give you an indication, talk about 950 projects. And it's divided between municipalities, long spreadsheets. We have that, we can make it available. But in names, as you said, it's been through. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG and the team. It's so that we are under pressure, but there's a lot that members want to know. the Department of Labor that's also coming. Maybe we will forward some questions to you so that you can respond tightly. So that is acceptable members because of some constraints. Those who want to be follow-up, you know, if you're not happy, surely you still need to make a follow-up on your questions. Because there's another department, the terms number 5 to 12. Do you want to add on what I said, Nick?
I want to reemphasize what you said. We agree in principle that we'll need to have a long and a broad briefing with the department on a number of other issues. I think that is the principle from which we departed. I think we should lay on rest on that basis that we agree that we are going to have another briefing which is going to be different from this.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think, Minister, we would want to thank you. And also from our side, we must apologize for the course of time. We are under pressure. Surely, we would want to engage with you on a number of issues, because I would have struggled it with the organogram, your own organogram, the vacancy rates and so on. Secondly, the question of skills, you reside with your partnership and so on, and go on your projects that you have, especially in municipalities, how you assist them, those that don't have skills, and also their vacancy at that level. So I'm saying there's a lot that we'd want to discuss, including the budget. It's a bit of concern if you have seen it at the conveyor belts and not managing. And also the matter to hold some of your SOEs accountable. Yes, that matter. And if it needs to be resolved politically, you should still say so very upfront as the select committee. I'm referring, for instance, the question of ESO, Stanford. But one example that you have raised, your interrelationship or your relationship with human settlements in terms of the 14% that was hotel access, we will have to engage on that. So I think we do have so many questions, but I will refuse to respond, but you respond now. We will organize another team so that we are much more relaxed. And once again, the ministry, thank you very much. And I know the woman can do it for this country. Thank you, Vijay. With your team, those who are sick, I know you will be thinking about the
house. Thank you, Jefferson. Outside, a number of our officials spoke through the presentation. It is a collective presentation. And we take the committee seriously, and so the senior management team to respond to you. We are very prepared to meet with you at your earliest convenience.
Thank you very much. You are excused. So that Labour can take those who want to have some tea, coffee, or breakfast, please do that quietly. You just move out, get quiet, you know. Have a catwalk and help yourself. Right foot. So we are health conscious this community. So help yourself. Help yourself. We are under pressure. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You are all welcome once again, and I will see you as we did not meet each other. I know many different of your sons were here, what do you do to ourselves? I'm not always here from the Department of Labor, when I don't see the minister and the deputy, neither do I see the DG.
given the Discord. That's where they are. We are this department, and we are this less committee for the SOP. This is our first time in meeting one another. And I would assume that we did introduce ourselves, maybe if we can attend an approach, that we introduce ourselves as a team, and also if there are any apologies, we will say so. From the committee side, there is a written approach from the honorable member, Chairman. He did submit an apology last week for this week. That apology was accepted. Otherwise, all members here, we are a diverse committee, a blood committee of the NCOP. We are working as a unit. And you must remember that we are all interested to our provinces. Because we come from our provinces as a team. So whatever challenges of delivery issues would always be where is how can what's happening on the Limpopo and so the Eastern Cape and so on. So ladies and gentlemen, without saying much, I'll give over to yourselves and you'll give also the 45 minutes inputs. Maybe because almost all departments do have the late old entities. Maybe you just mention them. We will not give them today. But surely you should know that you do have these entities. Because you want to deal with yourself the budget, your highlights and so on. But they will not be natural. You know, 1%, 30%. So that when you go back to our constituencies, we can say to our constituencies, the Department of Labor is doing this and this. It's a good department. Give us a good story, but also be honest in your challenges, so that we don't do them outside this meeting while you have an opportunity to tell, so that you can understand the challenges thereof. So without saying much, let I allow the department. You are known as competent. Thank you very much. Over to you, the leader. I don't know who's the leader. My apology for that. Because I thought the way you are seated, the leader will always sit here. I'm skeptical. He's protecting the leader, or she is protecting the leader. But he's not protecting. Okay, thank you very much. How about you, one point?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members. My name is Everett Mkonza. I'm presently the Compensation Fund Commissioner in the Department of Labor. And my colleague, I think, will introduce the first of that.
My name is Fred Miller. I'm the Chief of Operations in the Stadium.
My name is Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Barry Macoon, the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Labor.
My name is Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Esther Kwan. I am acting DG, Public Employment Service of the Department of Labor.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Member. My name is Bowat Serwa. I'm the UI Commissioner within the Department of Labor.
I am Commissioner. I want to listen to yourself. There are certain issues that are very interesting. The unemployment rate is very high. That's why I'm so interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kaviki, Acting Deputy Director, General Labor Market Policy.
I know you have taken both. Alright, thank you very much. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee. My name is Afsal Surida. I am National Senior Commissioner for Mediation and Collective Bargaining from the CCMA.
What a nice salary. You know, it's just a Shudra. Thank you very much, Shudra.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Noreen Khan, and I'm the Director of the CCMA.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Member. My name is Bongani Tonka, CEO of Productivity SA.
Afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Bulo Mafata, and the CFO at the UIF.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is David Lamine, CFO at Productivity SA.
Good day, Sheldon and Honourable Members. My name is Helel Kengen. I'm the Deputy Superintendent at the Department of Labour.
You are Helelwan?
Kengen.
Or Kengen?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Johnny Madiba. I'm the CFO at the Compensation Center.
No, we are part of the department. We are part of the department. We are part of me. We are one of the guests. The officials of the department. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. And then my name is Wendell Kibuk, I'm responsible for AA to the department.
Are you speaking to the mic? I don't hear you.
Good afternoon again, Honorable Chair members. My name is Wendell Kibuk, I'm Chief Director in AA Inspection and Enforcement Services in the Department of Labor.
Good day, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Helen Kwape, Acting Director in the Office of the Acting Director General.
Thank you. I don't have a comment. Thank you. Let us have
a good morning, Chair. My name is Bada Kumalo from Communications in the Kenya.
Thank you.
Good morning, Jefferson. Honourable Members, my name is Mukhadi Dela. I'm the MLO of the MFA.
You're an M what?
A media liaison officer.
Liaison officer?
Yes.
In the Department of Labor?
Yes.
Okay.
Bengelezo Shalo, namalu wa shumpegis. Ikamana lompumelelo, wamiyozo. Chief of Staff, the Office of the Party, so I'm going to be here. It
reminds me of the Chief Staff of Libya. I will tell you a story later, not today. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, and Honorable Members. I'm Eric Nyagemba, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Minister of Labor.
Yeah, me again. All right, thanks. There's another one. This is everybody only in the House, except the members of Parliament who have introduced themselves earlier on, and some members. I think we don't know each other. We are here, so we introduce ourselves. Without saying much, ladies and gentlemen, may I give the department, the leader of the delegation, to take the floor and tell us to his presentation for the labor matters, budgets, and so on. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman and members. As I've indicated earlier on, I'm the leader of the delegation, and I'm going to thank the Director General for the 21st to the 20th of July 2014.
And you do have a letter that authorizes you. Yeah, you have that letter. So that's thank you, because by law, it is expected that we should have that letter that delegates power to the delegation of share. It is official, that I'm doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just again, I think I've read a message, and I think I would request the Chief of Staff will facilitate the process to hand over the letter to the Council members. I must apologize on behalf of the Minister, the Deputy Minister and the Director General to not available for this meeting. The Minister is engaged in our activities and the PPG and MPDG also abroad on the business of the Department and government. I must also indicate that we may be unfortunate to say that we are timing constrained. We might not be able to elaborate to the extent that our other colleagues have done. We'll do our best to familiarize ourselves with the spectrum of the department and the entities that work with us in examining the activities and mandates that are given to us in terms of the constitution and the legislation that governs the work of the Department of Labor. focus of my presentation would focus mainly on the work of the department and the budget. And I think in the next round, when we present our annual report, I think we'll allow for the different entities to prepare comprehensive presentations for their various areas. And also, I guess that during the session and other time, the heads of the entities that are with us, the heads of the different programs and the flavor, will assist me in responding to some of the questions that might arise during our presentation today. Our presentation is very big. Within the time frame that has been allocated to us. I must also indicate that initially we thought we were going to present the judgment and different entities separately, and I think on Friday we learned that we need to come here before you make a consolidated one presentation of the judgment. So I'm sure I highlight the entities, what they're doing, and I think at the own time when they are requested to come and take the committee, they'll be able to socialize the work that they do and the achievements that they have and the challenges that they might be having in that respect. And in the context of our presentation, in slide 2, we tend to give you the background of the Tangled Labor, the organization structure, vision and mission, executive policy mandate and amendments, labor market challenges, our capacity. We'll also give you an overview of the government programs and entities. And the CFO will be able to give you the plans around finances and the budget. And the COO will give you the area 4, 5, which is the Gulf of Fiscal 2014-19, and also give you the alignment with the NDP and the MSDF. She's also going to take you through the annual performance reports and annual performance and challenges and of the old programs that we have in this. So the next step is used to the structure of the department. I think the minister is the executive authority in this department. And I think in the 2014 financial year, in under the key administration of government, the department was blessed to have a deputy minister, Minister of Rural Development, who's going to assist our minister in the administration of the department. The department is headed by the DG, and below the DG, the various deputy directors and generals responsible for different programs, which will be in the CEO organizations.
I do not have a copy of what is being presented.
Is it only by only yourself? No. All of us. Do you have, where are the copies of your presentation? I have a copy so that most members would like to make some notes as before calling you the presentation. May I look at it?
Chairperson, may I just say, the committee assistant asked us if we had copies, and I showed him that we haven't. And I've been looking at my laptop. We got three presentations, but we didn't get the 120 pages. We got three presentations electronically, but it's not the 120 page.
So in other words, it is not compatible with what they are reading now.
Okay.
Why is the department trying to organize itself with this 120 section? There is some food, it is made to warm up the body. Here, last night, well, me and the cook.
The office, ladies and gentlemen, what you know, you are coming to the office. And from where the testing tissue is really good on it. What do we do? Any response? I don't want to bring a proposal. Maybe members are sufficient here. I can say something on the matter. Is there anyone who's asking us in getting this COVID? Okay.
Thank you.
derive a mandate from the South African Constitution, Chapter 2 and the Bill of Rights. Section 9 of the Constitution requires us to ensure equal access to opportunities by all citizens, promotion of labor standards and fundamental rights at work. Section 18, freedom of association. Section 23, to ensure sound labor relations. Section 24 in the Constitution requires us to ensure an environment that is not harmful to the health and safety of all those who are in work. And Section 27 requires us to provide for adequate social security nets to protect vulnerable workers. And Section 28 requires us to ensure that children are protected from exploitative labor practices, not required or permitted to perform work or services that are inappropriate for the person of that child's age, or their well-being, education, physical or mental health, or spiritual, moral or social development, police, etc. Section 34, access to courts and access to fair and speedy labor practices. There are various labor legislations that we also as minister that give us the mandate. The first one is the Labor Relations Act of 1995. The Basic Conditions of Employment Act of Act No. 35 of 1997 is normally referred to as the BCEA. And then the Employment Equity Act, Act No. 55 of 1998, the Unemployment Insurance Act of 1996, and then amended in 2001, the Occupational Health and Safety Act of 1993, the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act of 1993, the National Economic Development and Labour Network Act of 1994, and the Employment Services Act, which has been recently passed by Parliament. I think the next slide just gives you the progress that we've made in terms of the amendments that we put before the last Parliament, the first Parliament, bringing some changes in some regulations and areas of legislation to address the challenges that we were facing in the labor market. I think in the Employment Services Act of 2014, basically we have brought this legislation in order to address the development in the labor market, the issues around casualization of the workplace, the conduct of what we normally call labor contracts, which are sort of private employment agencies. So that particular legislation deals with the management and regulations of all employment agencies in the country, and also deals with issues of placement of workers, and also provides for career guidance, counseling and assessment, and also it also provides for the what we call the sheltered employment factors. This deals with people with disabilities, special disabilities who are also covered under this legislation, who are provided for protective work. We have also been brought the Unemployment Insurance Amendment here. Basically, in that space, we are trying to address the whole issue of improvement in the provision of benefits to the working class. And I think there can be the end provide for unemployment benefits for the 8 months. And I think the amendments we're bringing about will increase those benefits, but also ensure that the period of access is increased. We also looking at this one has already gone through neglect, and I think the Parliament will deal with the finalization of that legislation. And also in 2014-15, we will also try to bring before the Swiss Parliament two amendments of the two legislations, that the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Basically, there we are trying to make issues around trying to improve protection in the workplace, providing for more regulations and more measures to ensure that workers do not go to work to die. And also, we are also looking at amending the compensation for occupational injuries and diseases act. And I think in that particular space, we are looking at refocusing the wife of the politician commissioner, from just not focusing on payment of medical bills, but also to ensure that workers who are injured or diseased anywhere, they can be assured that their jobs will be guaranteed, they will be able to go back to work, and also that there will be measures in place to ensure that recovery is managed in a particular manner to ensure that they are able to go back to work. Employers will also be required to have policies and measures to ensure that injured workers are accommodated once they return back to their employer. The challenges that the department faces in the economy, as well as the issue of unemployment, I think the chairperson has alluded to it, that we are one country where we're facing a huge form of unemployment and unemployment. Unemployment, basically, what we're referring to is people who are working but highly underpaid for the work that they do not provide better compensation. I think there's also the issue of changing the nature of work. And I think in the last 5-10 years, we've seen the shift from the normal formalization of work to casualization. So I think that's another challenge that we're dealing with, the issue of the rise in the jobbroking industry. The inequalities and unfair discrimination in workplace, which is, continues to dog us. This is also an issue of domestic and cross-border labor migration. I think this is a huge challenge where there's a lot of undocumented workers in our labor market space, especially on our borders in the areas of agriculture and domestic work. Inadequate improvements of constant performance, monitoring and evaluation of labor market programs to determine the impact on the economy. So I think that's the challenge that we're facing. I think the slides that I'm showing around here basically give you the areas, I think, when you receive the presentation, you'll be able to see by province the level of unemployment and which province are facing issues of unemployment, which one has a higher and lower unemployment rate. And I think in terms of the services that we provide in the Department of Labor, because we are a national department, we do not have MECs in our department, even the provincial MECs. The Minister of Labor is responsible for the whole country. So we have a head of that in Pretoria, that is a head of it, and also head of it to all the public entities in Johannesburg or Pretoria. We have 9 provincial offices, that is the provincial head office of the department in each every province with a provincial office. And we have 126 labor centers that are scattered across the 9 provinces. We have 17 mobile units in the whole country. These units are basically trucks that are similar to those that the Home Affairs is using, and we use them to access all those remote areas where we do not have offices, and we usually go there on routine basis when we believe that services are required in those places. We also have 2 well-equipped buses, which basically represent a moving labor office. So in those buses, we'll be able to access all services of the Department of Labor, what's in the area. I think the major focus of this buses is in the area of public employment services, where we meet with a lot of young people. We encourage them to register for employment opportunities so that they can be put into your database and made available to employers to recruit. We also provide services in the 22 of the 139 Tucson centers. I think you're right aware that government has launched about 139 Tucson centers, and I think we are available in the 72 of those Tucson centers. I think the rest were not available because we have labor contracts in those areas. We have 12 sheltered self-employment factories. These are factories where we employ people with disabilities. the manufacturer linen, clothes, and furniture, and then sell those furniture to governments. And we have them in all provinces except Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And we hope that once these places are self-funded, we might be able to expand to those two provinces as well. The programs that we run in the Department of Labor are 7 of them. The first program is administration. In program administration, that's where the minister, the deputy minister, the DG, and the support services of the department are housed under this program. That is the budget that is allocated to this program will finance all the work that the minister does, the deputy minister, the DG, the COO, and the chief financial officer. Program two, business inspection enforcement services, that's where we have our inspectors. Program three is the public environment services. Program four is labor market policy and industrial relations. Program five is protected employment enterprises, which I used to call earlier on, shattered employment enterprises. Under the new amended legislation to the Public Employment Services Act of 2014, which changed the way from shattered employment practice to protected employment enterprises. And then we have program six, which is the Employment Insurance Fund, and program seven, which is the Compensation Fund. The entities that we have, I think the Unemployment Insurance Fund, Compensation Fund, Protected Employment Enterprises, the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation, and Arbitration, CMA, National Economic Development and Labour Council, NEDLAC, the Production of South Africa, and under the Unemployment Insurance Fund, which we have alluded to earlier on, I'll just indicate some of the highlights of this public entity. The minister approved and launched 9 training initiatives last year in December, where we have committed about 300 million for training of the unemployed beneficiaries of the U.S. These are people who have lost employment and have come to the government to seek assistance in training. 4 billion rand has been allocated for the social responsibility investment project. And in this particular area, the department is working together with the Public Investment Commissioner and IDC to ensure that we use those funds to create jobs. And today, I must indicate that through this program, we've been able to create about 23,258 jobs. The UIF has also made a proposal to the Minister of Labour to create what we call the Labour Education Fund, which is a special fund that the UIF will administer on its own to promote labour education. And I think the approval has been gathered by the Minister, and I think we're in stage of a feasibility study to ensure that the fund is created. The fund offers under the following strategic objectives. Fund, provide delegation schemes, improve governance, strengthen the institutional capacities of the fund, encourage compliance through service, improve stakeholder relations. I think I'll move right to the next public entity, which is the next public entity, which is the Compensation Fund. I think this entity basically what it does, it deals with the payment of medical expenses for employees who are injured at work, or those employees who contract diseases at work. And this entity has its own certificate objectives and is also aligned to the NDP program. And indeed, I think this is one of the entities that the department is very hard to turn around, because the entity that it still has a lot of challenges, and I think the challenge I think it's a long time in the process of time. I think we've been in the media on the way in which it takes time to process things. Delay in reporting of offenders by regard is another challenge. Document management is also another challenge because this is the only entity that is still relying on manual records for process of claims. We have a centralized system which is managed centrally at the Department of Labor. I think this is an issue that we're trying to address. And I think there are also a number of activities, public activities that surround this area, especially with regard to medical doctors and practitioners who are claiming when it's paid off. I think there are also plans to put in a turnaround plan for the institution. I think at the appropriate time when the budget will come and present the turnaround plan to members. NEDEC is also an institution that was created in 1995, and the institution what is basically meant for is to ensure that all legislative amendments that come to Parliament must go through the NEDEC institution, which is a privatized institution, government, and business. And I think it has a hot chamber now, which is the civil society component, which deals with issues around civil society. So there is a tailored line there, and I think in terms of the performance, I think we've also provided a slide, and I think at the right time, we'll have them make a presentation. I think we also want to indicate that challenge where they are now, I think what they're doing now is look at the impact of the changes and the democracy. While they're also indicating that social dialogue under pressure, I think we're seeing the rise in the number of strikes and inability to lock them on time, which I think is a challenge of social dialogue. Limited to the economic impact, I think the type of challenge of unemployment, inequality and poverty, I think those are some of the issues. I think the next one is the education. There are public entity which is designed basically to dispute resolution in the labor market. I think that its mandate is to make sure that if there are disputes, we refer them there for resolution. And I think it works through a fundamental process. It starts with conciliation of disputes, where they try to resolve disputes, and then in an event where they cannot conciliate, and then disputes are referred to this arbitration, where an outcome of arbitration is final, it has to be implemented. And they also facilitate establishment of workplace forums and specific answers. They also compile and publish information and sense about the facilities. And they coordinate applications for accreditation and subsidy for public hunters and private agencies. The CMA also provides for accrediting other private agencies and public hunters to act as dispute resolution agencies. They also establish picking rules, and they also provide training and advice on the establishment of collective bargaining structures, workplace restructuring, collaboration process, termination of employment aid programs, and disability prevention. And I think in the last year, we've also given the CCMA another responsibility of also assisting in the area of limiting job losses through the final stated by Kevin, where companies which I described are allowed to go to the system and make an application for financial assistance in order to avoid that process. One of the functions that they also perform is that they supervise ballots for unions and bar organizations in the event where they might be allowed. They also provide training and information as to the primary objective of the LRA. They advise party to dispute about the project model, for example, if an employee is briefed, to provide advice as to what policy they must follow in order to get then I'll move to the next identity, which is the Productivity South Africa, which basically, it mainly basically is to promote productivity in the workplace, and also prevent workplace challenge, productivity organization solutions, and to provide turnaround solutions for companies that are in distress, and also to provide awareness and productivity to employees and companies. They've got three large areas in terms of the strategic plans and agencies. They are not dealing with that. I was just raised to the highlight of that institution. I think here is basically what they do is in 2000 like on revenue. Strategic partnership with other institutions enabling TSA to carry out its mandate. Having the profile of TSA then, but in media discussions contract in his cost resulting to the media coverage. They also implement the new strategy to work through the workplace challenge program. I think this was the last entity that we have this and the document provided the department CFO to take us through the department's budget and the financial position of the department.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, the finances of the department are as follows. For 2013-14 financial year, we allocated a budget of 2.4 billion. As we can note, only 28% the line item in terms of the economic classification departmental agencies. That is only 28% amounts to 676 million. It's classified to the entities. One major point that we need to, well, I need to mention here is that two big public entities of the department are self-funded. That is why UIF and compensation funds, so that they are not included in this amount. The other entities are funded through his cars. The two major ones are self-funded. They generate their own revenue for their operation. For this financial year, we managed to spend 2.71, which is 97% of our budget. And the next slide talks to the same allocation per program. Administration, this is on portion IES, inspection and enforcement services, public employment services, labor policy and industrial relations. The budget allocation for 2014-15 that we are currently working on is 2.5 billion allocated in terms of the economic classification, with also the provincial the departmental agencies and accounts being transferred to the agencies, indicated as 774 million that we are going to transfer to these entities. The same amount also put in terms of the programs as to how they want to spend, well, how the allocation has been and how they want to spend in terms of their strategic plans for the current financial year, which amounts to the same amount of 2.5 billion. And in terms of the budget review, we have experienced, 2014 we experienced a budget decrease of 106 million. Of which 63 million was on compensation of employees. 60% of the reduction was meant for the capitalization of inspectorate, and the remaining 40% were meant for the capitalization of IT service staff that were to be absorbed from the IT public private partner at the end of the contract. With the budget decrease, our MTF allocation for the next 3 years is as follows. 2015-16, we're going to have the indicative budget allocation is 2.6 billion. 2016-17, we're going to then cross the up to the 3 billion mark. And 2017-18, we're going to have the indicative allocation is 3.2 billion for the Department of Labor and the entities that we support. In terms of the next slide, we put, I think, the same information in terms of the economic classification. The next one would be, I think, the funding challenges that the department is experiencing. The challenge number one is the implementation of the new Employment Services Act, number 4 of 2014, which we are now implementing. We are engaging with the National Treasury for the funding of the implementation of the Act. The other funding challenge is the funding of the Office of the Chief Information Officer. The previous slide indicated that the amount was over the one, the budget decrease for the staff that we inherited from the triple partner. We are also engaging Treasury to renewal to give us that amount because employees are already in the Department of Labor. The other funding challenge is the inspectorate enforcement services for the same challenge that I think the money was taken away from the department, and we do have inspectors on the ground for which we have to pay. The additional challenge, the last one, is the new office that we have to create in the admin program for the deputy minister, of which I think the announcement happens when the budget was already announced. So we are still also engaging Treasury for the funding of that office as well. I think I finalized the finances of the finance. Thank you.
Thank you, and Chairperson. I'm sort of the list of the presentation. This is mainly for personnel in the Department of Labor. In terms of the MTSS, there are 14 outcomes that the government is chasing. The highlighted areas are indication of where the Department of Labor is contributing in terms of the outcomes. So there's 7 of the 14 outcomes that you're contributing to. And then the next set of slides is really an alignment that shows how the department will be able to contribute to the National Development Plan, the MTSF also. And you can see that we've outlined our strategic objectives. They are key indicators as well. And more specifically, the annual performance plan that shows yearly targets. I'm not going to talk into this, but a number of them. But that should indicate that the department is, have made a concerted effort to ensure that our short plan and our APP speak directly to the NP and MTSS. So the next set of slides is indicative of that. And the next one that I'm going to touch is going to look at Program 1 administration in terms of the past experience, I mean past performance, particularly just high-level achievements and challenges, as well as going forward, what are the areas of focus. I want to address this slide because I think PJ has already spoken to that. In terms of 2013-14 financial year, you notice that we're able to achieve indicator number one. Although the challenge that we have is that there is a high staff turnover, which is something that the department has to manage. We had 4 cases of which we were able to finalize 90% thereof. We collected a number of security awareness campaigns within specified areas, and the provinces that we were able to charge are reflected there. And then that slide is showing our alignment to employment equity in terms of the designated targets, women in SMA positions, youth and children with disabilities. You'll notice that we haven't met the targets 100%. The challenges are explained on the last column, but we're making every effort to ensure that we're able to achieve the targets as outlined. The next slide talks to the first point on the issue of vacancy rate. We targeted the key of vacancy rate at 6% actually. We are unable to do that. At the time of reporting, that is the end of the financial year, our vacancy rate was at 12.9%. And the main challenge was that we experienced a staff bulge where, for decentralization purposes, there was an additional staff establishment to make sure that you're able to pay services to the people at FedEx and Labor Center, Labor Center level. And I noticed that, as far as training is concerned, we're able to do that through the workplace system, and we're able to train 88% each of the class and target. But this is misconduct, we're able to settle to 7% instead of 77%. And there were a number of challenges. Among those, obviously, subjects are more complicated and complex than anticipated. And in such instances, it can take longer than normal to settle the cases. And as far as litigations are concerned, you notice that you're able to achieve 72% in terms of cases resolved instead of 80%. Reasons being, there were issues that needed to be finalized at the provincial level that couldn't, and therefore that delayed the process. And then the next slide is really talking to the APT going forward, our annual performance plan 2014-2015, what areas are we really looking at. I won't get into details because my assumption is that we're going to have, actually the assumption, I am going to have more students that do get an opportunity to pretend to look at the current APT. So I won't get into too much details in that regard. That slide talks to the establishment of the DOL, and I know the committee is interested in provisional exams. So in terms of the establishment of the department, those are the data for all the officers. The next problem that I'm going to talk to is inspection and enforcement services. Those are some of the areas of performance as far as IES is concerned. I just need to emphasize, Chairperson, that the staff complement, particularly of inspectors, we've got just over 1,000 inspectors in the whole country. And the norm is that for developing countries, as stipulated by ILO, you need at least about one inspector for an average of 20,000 entities or cases. But in South Africa, we've got one inspector for 140,000 work cases. It's obvious that we won't be able to meet our challenge as far as making sure that the industrial key is working. Yes, yes, 114,000. The ratio is 1 to 114,000. Instead of the prescribed 1 to 20,000 for developing countries. I find that into one is showing in terms of our employment equity, the performance of the department, we extended a sub target of 120. We're able to do 158 in terms of public companies. And then the breakdown of how various provinces contributed. And as far as private companies are concerned, we have set ourselves a target of 220, we're able to cover 237. Protection of vulnerable workers, we have set ourselves a target of inspecting 90,000 workplaces. We're able to inspect just under 130,000, which is quite an achievement. And the compliance rate was at 75% for various companies that we went to inspect. This slide is talking to complaints management. We have set ourselves a target of 75,000 in terms of resolving complaints. We aim to handle 66%. And I need to explain, Chairperson, that these are complaints that come to the front desk. So we've got officials that kind of do an integrated type of work. So this is measuring our ability to handle those complaints at a registration level. But then those complaints that were not handled, it doesn't mean that they call someone that can correct. What it means is that they're escalated to the next layer, which is mostly the inspector. Threatening social security, we set our subject of auditing 69,700 companies. We're able to audit 5,174. And the compliance rate was 74%. Most of the challenges that we come across on the ground is as a result of insufficient resources, particularly in terms of human resources, and also financial. The next set of slides is talking to the contribution of the program in terms of the ATP 2014-2015. Those are breakdowns in terms of the KPIs and the quotas. I'm not yet going to get into that. But the breakdowns are on 10 number 89. What is setting ourselves up to do for the current financial year, written down in terms of provinces. And I just need to indicate that the breakdown in terms of provinces is informed by the number of resources on the ground and the demographics of various provinces. As far as protecting vulnerable workers is concerned, this year we set ourselves a target of inspecting 149,000 workplaces, and that's a breakdown in terms of provinces. Strengthening social security, we set ourselves a target of inspecting or auditing 20,609 companies. And in terms of strengthening social security continuity, employment audits, employer audits, we set ourselves a target of 13,440, with specific focus to Unemployment Insurance Act. The challenges that we experience on the ground are in the team. The next program is Project Employment Services. We have set ourselves for the past financial year to register at least 500,000 once we are able to register more than 600,000. And then we also set ourselves a target to provide counseling for at least 50% of the registered workers. We're able to provide their type of counseling to only 41%. And the reason being that we do not have career counselors in all the legal centers. I think we have about 97 career counselors, and we've got 126 legal centers. So there are those offices that we don't have. And that's in our savings for the target. We have set ourselves a target of placing at least 19,000 employers in the jobs that we have registered on our database. We are able to place 16,570. One of the fundamental challenges that we have here represents to a large extent the skills mismatch. We find some of the vacancies that get registered to us on the database of the work seekers. We wouldn't have people with the requisite skills. And the number of work seekers that we respect to employment opportunities, we have set a target of 26,000, we're able to achieve over 98,000. The number of employers registering vacancies, we have set ourselves, at least we wanted to have 1,000 employers registering, we had 2,427. The next set of slides is going to the strategic focus on the annual promise 2014-2015. So those are the key indicators, the annual targets and so on and so forth going forward. I won't get into too much detail in the interest of time. And what follows is really a breakdown of promises in terms of the targets for the current financial year. And then LP and PEPA, in terms of what we have set ourselves to do in the previous financial year, we wanted to make sure that employment equity in the labor market is ensured, and we're able to do that to a large degree where the Employment Equity Act was attended to, and we also had report that we published. And then as far as basic conditions of employment in the labor market is concerned, the basic conditions of employment action to continue was admitted into law, and we also had one child labor program of action implemented during the financial year. As far as the program determinations are concerned, we were able to review sectoral discrimination around the hospitality sector as well as the taxi sector. And then as far as strengthening civil society is concerned, we're able to contribute to 12 civil society organizations. were processed within 90 days out of six. And then we started cancelling our ties with some countries of concern. We aim to review memoranda with the countries that are mentioned in the slide. And then I won't go into all those reports that are shown there, but those are some of our shows. We were also able to come up with an annual report for the past that shows our trends, particularly in terms of us making sure that we are able to determine the impact of our legislation. And then going forward, we've got a strategic focus as far as basic content and those number of slides are chosen today. And in conclusion, I just want to say, as far as the legal market is concerned, the major challenge is actually currently facing our vision and implementation of legal amendments, as well as the labor market instability that we all are exposed to. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Acting DJ, with your team, for helping the implementation of this calendar. It's a pity that I understand you're still under pressure that you have. It's not your making, but our making. We apologize on that. I'm sure we'll improve going forward. Members, I've got a suggestion. I'm not sure whether you might to raise your questions, and then if you have any questions, so that the response can come later. What is your view? I know we want to maybe both of us today too, we should leave the house.
Jefferson, our civil suggestion that we submit our questions to write because we are late already.
Submit questions in writing? Mm-hmm. Not rather response to the writing?
And they also respond in writing. We have time to go.
With the laundry. Okay. Can you ask your question?
So many questions in writing. I mean, the bosses have a habit of not responding on time or not responding at all. So that's why it's better to have a department with you to ask the question. There's a lot of things we want to ask the department as well, but I think we need to set time to go through this thoroughly. Also, rushing through a presentation like this, and then I appreciate that somebody gave me the document, but then there's about 15, 16 pages that missing out of this presentation as well in front of me. So rush ahead on the slide there because of time constraints, and then you want to still follow things that are going follow up here, and you cannot do that. I don't know when is the next time we can have a proper session with the Department of Labor, but I think it's vitally important that we do sit with the department to go through some issues with it.
Gentlemen, I can't seem to stand on my feet. I'm the man who should go. I would love to make a proposal, a constructive one. Now that the department has made its presentation, I think all the team must reschedule a meeting, a proper meeting, because this is one of the strategic departments as part of the economic cluster. That must have plans on it, on merely issues. I would want to propose that our staff and consultation with SOB to reschedule a meeting for the department and not to have questions now. What is your view, Honorable Mabon? I thought you had us up.
Yes, Chair. Because I agree with you.
Oh, okay. Because we do have an inkling of what is happening, and we do have a document to work on, to read through. I know that there is a debate coming on labor around Thursday.
Yes.
On Thursday.
That is precisely my concern, Chair. That I would want to just rephrase what you have said for the record quite differently. Where we say we receive with appreciation the report. If there are any burning issues, maybe let's say we'll allow each one of us members, if they have a burning issue, to raise one.
that we are not creating for ourselves a home. When we go to the article process and then find that we are guilty of not having fairly engaged in the process.
Can you lead by example?
And now, my questions that I have is not going to change the issue on the budget. I'm happy with what I have here.
Thank you. Doc?
Yeah, if it's a burning issue, it's only the one of the IT. That's the most important one. What is the government going to do about addressing that particular issue? They mentioned it's one of the challenges that they that's the main one from my point of view.
Jabo?
I think the Honourable Vada covered that. I mean, in the age where we are nowadays, there's no reason not to have anything online. And it just makes it a lot quicker. But I mean, to get everything online, there's a big investment that needs to be made originally. And I didn't see anything specifically that we are going to commit to that major investment to make sure that we move past this annual applications and forms and get everything online.
The last one, I think you do have a cover both of your issues of consumer. I will give you
is not a function of us not having full vacancies in the department. The number of inspectors that we have is commensurate with the sort of budget that has allocated to the department in terms of that. What we're trying to do is to address this issue in a number of ways. One is the specialization of inspectors. One is a proposal to identify higher inspectors instead of sectors that does not perform the same kind of work in terms of non-compliance in the sector. So there's a number of issues that we're trying to deal with. There's a number of inspectors with a number of workers that we have so that work smart in the past, but it is a whole sort of approach that we try to look at it in that context. It's not a function of us not putting vacancies. Thank you.
We know this is not enough. That is why we're saying that as we are in the meeting. But surely the debate continues on Thursday or the EMA. These members do read these documents. If by mistake you alter or you misrepresent this document in reading it in the podium, you will still correct it by those who will be debating in the room. But that is not our line of march. We should be aware of what is taking place in this judgment and the department, so that when you speak as a public speaker, you speak very confidently, knowledgeable of the department's proceedings and so on. My honourable colleague.
Thank you very much. I hope you're talking about me.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, I'm just looking now at the point that you're making about Thursday and asking whether the department can give an indication as to who will be there to represent the department. Seeing that the Minister Deputy ADG will not be here.
No. In terms of the principles of that Ethiopian national, the minister or the deputy should be present in the House. There's no way that we can present a budget without their absence. So it's like a flying whip for them to be present in the House. It goes without saying.
So we can assume that the Hickman will be new.
Any other matter, ladies and gentlemen? I want to take this opportunity the Defense Department, under the stewardship of the MPDG, led us very well. You start like a diesel, you know, very slowly. You've got up in the middle of the real issue. And I'll be here, something wrong with that.